For today's episode of Press Roots, we have Trey Biddy from hogsports.com on, a guy who's been around Arkansas sports media for a while now, and he knows the business side of journalism as good as anybody you're going to listen to. We really learned a lot from Trey, and we hope you're able to learn some as well. And if you want to give us a follow on Twitter, we're at Press Roots Pod. We would love to interact with you there. You can give us some feedback. Maybe if you have any suggestions of who you would like on the show, we can try to make that happen. We've had some good feedback so far, and we would appreciate some more as well. And we can't wait to interact with you guys on Twitter. And we hope you enjoy this episode with Trey Biddy. Before we get to our interview with Trey Biddy, I would like to announce that next week we're going to have Andrew Hutchinson from Hogbeat.com on the show. He's a really up-and-coming journalist when it comes to Arkansas sports media, and Hutch is a very talented guy. We can't wait to learn his keys to success when it comes to journalism. And now, Trey Biddy. And now we welcome on Trey Biddy from Hogsports.com. Trey, how's it going today?
Doing good, guys. Hope you all are doing well.
Well, Trey, basically what this podcast is we're interviewing sports journalists like yourself, and we're trying to figure out the ins and outs of the business and how to be successful. And if you're talking success in sports journalism, Trey Biddy is probably the guy to talk to. So we're really, really excited to chat with you today.
I'm glad to be here, and thank you guys for having me on your podcast. Hopefully, I can spread a little bit of wisdom to some of the young journalists out there.
We love to hear it. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into the world of sports media?
Wow, that's a long story. I actually did not know I wanted to get into sports for a long time. I didn't know what I wanted to do in college. I remember people always telling me you had plenty of time to decide and all this stuff, but really you should probably make that decision before you get into college, because you do want to, you know, get involved in interns and internships and things like that. So for me, I was in general business, and I actually moved to Georgia. I believe that was around 2000 or so, and got into the pecan industry. And I'll just say, you get a lot of time to think about your life when you're riding around on a tractor at about 5 miles an hour. So I was doing a lot of writing, and I was actually sending my thoughts on Arkansas football to a buddy of mine named Chris Russell, who lives in Washington, D.C. And Chris actually was sending that email out. This is back around 2000. And he was sending that email out to a large group of people. And I didn't even know that it was being sent out like that until somebody emailed me and said, "Hey, when's the Biddy report coming out this week?" So it was at that point I was like, maybe I could do something in journalism, because I really didn't like where I was living in South Georgia, Central Georgia, I should say, in the pecan industry. Not that that's a bad profession, it just wasn't for me. So I went back to school. I went to UALR and got a degree. Actually, I shouldn't leave this part out, because I was out in a field on September 11th, 2001, all day long, and was driving the tractor back home. And my dad stopped me on the way. He's like, "I guess you heard about the bombings." This was like at 5:36, something like that. And so while everybody else was gathered around their television, knowing exactly where you are when the 9/11 situation happens, I was out in a field by myself. And that was when I was kind of like, I got to get out of here. So I went back to school, went to journalism school. Rivals.com was hiring. And I only had like a year and a half to go. So, because I had minored in communications before, so a lot of similar stuff. So I started working for Rivals at that time, and eventually took over the site as publisher, bought the rights to the site in 2007. And 2 years ago, we moved to 24/7 Sports. So for a total of 17 years. So long story, but that's how I got into it.
Did you grow up in Georgia, or did you grow up in Arkansas?
I grew up in Arkansas. My family is originally from Georgia, but I've been in Arkansas since I was 7 years old. Moved to North Little Rock at age 7, and then moved to Sheridan at age 12. which I would call my hometown, Sheridan.
So did you, growing up, did you play sports, or was sports like a big part of your life, and that's kind of what you fell back on, and you're like, this is what I want to do?
I've always been a big sports fan, absolutely, no question. Always followed the Razorbacks growing up, and yeah, I mean, I played football, played baseball and basketball in junior high. I played football all through high school and track also. We were really strong in track, actually. I threw the discus. I was one of the best discus throwers in the state, and really liked that. We won 2 state championships in track, and we had an okay senior season in football, but we kind of struggled in that sport. But yeah, I'd always been interested in sports, and I would say to anybody that's wanting to get into sports journalism, you better make sure you love it. You better make sure that it's something that you don't think about as being work. I just get up and I can't wait to get started. And I love sports. And if you don't, then you really need to be doing something else.
Who was your biggest influence growing up, Trey?
My biggest influence?
When it comes to sports media.
Sports media? I mean, probably for me, like a lot of local people, because when I was growing up, you know, you didn't have readily, you know, access to the internet. I remember I came up to the University of Arkansas in 96, and I had seen stuff on the internet, like chat rooms. Back then it was like so-and-so enters the room, opens up a beer. Like that's what the internet was. And so when I got up to the University of Arkansas, I just remember going like, wow, there's a lot you can find on the internet. But before that, you know, growing up, it was all, you know, I read Wally Hall, Scott Cain, you know, just Bob Holt, local people in Arkansas. So yeah, it wasn't like, you know, this huge national brand, you know, I mean, it was local people.
So you read a lot of local people. Did you ever think that maybe, even though you were going into sports media, that writing was not where you wanted to go, or did you always know that you wanted to write?
I always knew I had a gift for writing. Obviously journalistic writing is different than English. My mother was an English teacher, and my grandmother was the head of the English department at UALR. So I always had that in my background. My dad has always been a businessman. He's always owned his own business and stuff. And so it's kind of like a merged both worlds, and, you know, owning hogsports.com, running it as a business, and combining journalism to it. So it kind of just, I guess I was brought up to be what I am.
So once you got that job at Rivals, was there like a moment where it clicked and you were like, I can be really successful in this business?
I felt like this was my chance. You know, I felt like I had a huge opportunity. I can remember seeing that they were hiring on the website. This was back in 2002 that they were hiring. And I met up with a guy named Will Woods. He came down from Nashville to interview me. And I remember sitting there in the interview, and his wife called and said, he said, I'm just talking to the newest member at hogsports.com or rivals.com or something, you know. And so that's how I got hired. Didn't make a lot of money. And that's the thing in this business. Like, for anybody out there, you're not going to make a lot of money starting out. It's something that you have to prove yourself. You have to make yourself valuable. You have to build a portfolio. You have to show people, you know, what you can do. And it's not just, I see so many people like, I want to do this in journalism. Well, first you got to pay your dues. You got to learn how to write, you know, a standard AP style article. You know, there's so many people that I run into that, you know, like people will apply for the job and they don't know how to do that, which baffles me. But, you know, everybody wants to write editorials and stuff, and that's fine. But first you got to pay your dues. So yeah, for me, it was, I've always been interested in sports. I remember when Rivals started up back in like 99 or something, just being, you know, just loving all the recruiting side of things. So it's always been something I'm interested in.
So they're basically every media outlet in Arkansas covers the Razorbacks. How do you make yours the best coverage possible?
Well, number one, we want to outwork everybody. Whatever anybody else is doing, we want to do more. And that's a big, you know, Danny West is the same way as I am on that. And, you know, we're going to work harder. We always try to figure out ways to be creative with our content. We're always thinking of of what's next, you know, what's people are going to really enjoy. And a lot of it's just based on, you know, our knowledge of the Razorbacks, our history growing up in Arkansas. We feel we know what people like, what people want to read. And it's a lot of times it's the same stuff we want to read. I always say this also, if you don't enjoy writing the article that you're writing, people aren't going to enjoy reading it. That's how I've always felt about it. So we always make sure to pick things that we enjoy doing. That's part of why we're in this, because we enjoy it. So, you know, with things like coaching search, we always try to make sure it's both informative and entertaining. You know, I think that I believe that the last two coaching searches we've covered far exceedingly better than anybody else has, including the basketball coaching search, which I also believe that we did. And one of the reasons is we tried to make sure that people really understood, you know, where things are coming from. You know, with our Arkansas background also, that provides a unique aspect too. And I think that's an interesting topic, because you do hear so much, like if you're being trained, you know, in news editing, then, you know, as a newspaper writer, you're going to be told that you are no longer a fan of whatever team that you are a fan of that you're covering. You know, you're no longer a fan of that team. And I think a lot of people don't realize that when they get into sports journalism, that they're going to have to cancel out their fandom, because they got into it because they're a fan, right? That's usually why people get into it. But if you watch radio or listen to radio or watch TV, then the news people on that will refer to Arkansas as us or we, you know, even if they're not even from Arkansas, because a lot of people in this market just kind of, you know, it's a stepping stone. And so, but they will adopt us, we, you know, when they're talking about Arkansas. For me, I'm not a traditional newspaper writer, but I'm also on camera and all that stuff. And I've always kind of said, for people in my position who we have a Razorback community, we, you know, relying on fans as subscribers. For me, it's always been, I don't wear it on my chest. I don't wear Arkansas on my chest, but I keep it in my pocket. It's always there in my pocket. And so that's always something I've kind of thought of. But that's, by the way, trademark, not to be used without the express written permission of hogsports.com, Trey Biddy.
You've talked about that, but I want to move over to the business side of things. You're, mm-hmm. When I think of the people who are really successful on the business end of journalism, I mean, who else to go to but Trey Biddy? You're really successful in that. And I think once you dipped into that Little Rock market by getting onto the Buzz, you mm-hmm. you've told me about that a little bit. But I mean, if it wasn't for the Buzz, I would never know who Trey Biddy was until I got up to Fayetteville, probably. Mm-hmm. So how important is that? Getting your brand out to a big market like Little Rock.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to what I was saying, like building portfolio and that kind of stuff. I don't make a lot of money on the Buzz. I think there's a lot of people that think that I have an office in there and stuff. You know, people have left voicemails for me in there. But I just have a regular 20-minute segment on the Buzz. And I don't make a lot of money doing that. But what I do make, what we do make money from is from reaching out, getting our brand out there to people, letting them know, hey, we have a promotion. You know, first of all, I enjoy doing it. I enjoy getting on with those guys, but it's invaluable, the reach that I have. And for a long time, most people, that's how they recognized me. They would say, I listen to you all the time. You know, it wouldn't be like, I'm on your website, I listen to you all the time. But due to that relationship that I have with the Buzz and, you know, some other outlets, like also switching over to 24/7 sports and having CBS behind us, which has been huge. The last 2 years since we moved from Rivals to 24/7, we have easily more than doubled. I mean, like 2.5 times our number of subscribers, and we didn't inherit a lot. And most of them, I think, were subscribed to us and 24/7 sports. So our annual revenue in May across the entire country was up. We were up 60% year-over-year revenue in May, which is number one in the entire country on 24/7 Sports Network. I think we're 12th in revenue for Arkansas. You know, so we're getting hit a little bit on ad revenue in Arkansas just because it's a smaller population state. You know, we're never gonna beat Ohio State in that regard just because of the size. But subscriber numbers, we're easily inside the top 10 in the country. And we've been number one in Arkansas probably for the last decade or more, in terms of, you know, Scout, 24/7 Sports, Rivals, you know, all those team affiliated websites. We have been number one for a long time, but I mean, this last couple of years, we've really just exploded. I think part of that has also been the walk and talks I do, the podcast. Those have been very popular, and people want to know, like, you know, they like that, and then, you know, they want to see what we have for VIP, which I don't know when this is airing, but I think right now it's like 15 cents a day for a subscription. It's 50% off. That's like 15 cents a day. I don't know what you can buy. Can you guys think of anything you can buy for 15 cents? You can't get a gumball for 15 cents.
Not yeah, anymore. That would be a quarter.
Yeah. So anyway, I think it's a great deal, and we're running promos like that all the time. I mean, even if it's not 15 cents a day, I think it breaks down to like, you know, 28, 29 cents, something like that, a day when it's regular price. So it's a heck of a deal, I think.
So when I was covering baseball games with Mason in the spring, he kept posting to the message board, and I was really curious about that. How does that work, and how is that beneficial to the hogsports.com product?
Critical. That community means a whole lot to us. I think a lot of news outlets that try to start up like websites and stuff, they don't really get it. Or a lot of times they won't even have a message board. Other times the people that are working on the message board are just kind of like, you know, going through the motions. We put a lot of time and effort into that community. It in the month of December, it was the most, our message board, the Razor's Edge, had more traffic on it than any message board in the country on the 24/7 Sports Network. That's like 120 team sites. So that's something I've always felt like you have to have in this day and age, digital media, you have to have great content and a great community to survive.
So you talked about how for the past decade or so, you guys have been like at the top of traffic and just success overall out of all the Arkansas sports media outlets. How do you maintain that success in each day? How do you, what are you doing each day to make yourself and your product better?
Well, we're always trying to be innovative. Like I was saying, we're always thinking of new ideas, but a lot of it's the tried and true stuff. You know what people like, what people want to see, and we make sure to do that, and as well as adding new stuff. We've got some pretty big news coming up here soon on a new hire that I think is going to bring a lot to the table also. And so that's the main thing, you know, stick with what works, but also always push and innovate. And that's something, I mean, the listeners may not know, the person that hired me at Rivals 17 years ago, his name's Shannon Terry. He's one of the co-founders of Rivals. They sold to Yahoo in 2007 or 2008, I believe. But they sold to Yahoo. Shannon later didn't really like the direction that Rivals had gone. And I think a few years later is when he started up 24/7 Sports. So Shannon is now, you know, the founder and CEO of 24/7 Sports. And a lot of the people who were with Rivals before are the people that I'm with now. They've also made the transition over to 24/7 Sports over the years. And I think that's a big part of it, being surrounded by people like that. Shannon is such an innovator in this industry. Before he was 40, he was listed as one of the top 40 under 40 men in sports, most influential people in sports. So he's always been very forward thinking, and I've always kind of viewed myself that way. So it's always been, you know, a good fit. We're always not just me on my site, but also as a network, and also working with a company like CBS, just always trying to think of ways to innovate, whether it's the crystal balls, the, you know, the redesign of our message boards, of our website. You know, even just recently, we've changed the crystal balls to have confidence meters, so I can rank how confident I am, which also presents a better picture for the user. So just always coming up with new ideas, knowing what people like, and implementing it.
So you've been writing about the Razorbacks nearly your whole career.
Yes.
Is there ever a time where you think, like, what if you weren't covering the Razorbacks? What would you be doing? Would you be covering someone else? Would you be working in some other industry?
Yeah, I don't really have a whole lot of other discernible skills. So I guess I'm pretty lucky that I'm doing what I'm doing. I really don't know what I would do. I mean, I've thought about that kind of stuff before, but it always land on different things. Would I, you know, would I want to be like in the restaurant industry or a cook, or would I want to be, you know, owning some other business? Probably that. I've always thought of myself as a really good artist. Maybe I would want to be a starving artist. I have no idea what I would do. I think everything kind of worked out the right way. I don't know why, you know, and I've always been very goal oriented and driven in that sense. And I always believe that it's important to, you know, openly express what you want to do, you know, like make goals. My alarm is the number of subscribers that I want to have. Every day I wake up, that number, I look at that number every morning, you know, I'll say it to myself out loud. So I think for me, this was a really good fit. I guess just a perfect fit. And I don't know what else I would have been doing, but I bet you I wouldn't have liked it as much.
I feel like with most of the people that we're going to interview, they're not going to be in the position where you are, where you're the owner and you're the one mm-hmm. hiring people. So yeah. When you're looking at a candidate and a young, inspiring journalist, what are the keys or the most important things that you're looking at where you're like, this makes this person stand out?
Right. First of all, you got to know how to write. And we were talking about just, you know, doing a standard article, you know, if you send me a writing sample and I don't like it and I start reading it, you know, and you've got a lead that's incredibly long or, you know, it's choppy or, you know, in this article, I'm going to talk about this, you know, something like that, then I don't even look at the rest of the stuff. I mean, you've got to be strong as a writer. You have to understand, you know, inverted pyramid style. You have to understand how commas are used. So many people misuse commas. I mean, it's amazing the stuff I get, you know, from people that are like applying for jobs and there's typos in your article, you know. It's hard to proofread your stuff, but you got to. You can't just skim it if you're going to self-proof stuff and send it to me. So that's the first part of it. Secondly, is just being anxious, energetic, excited about something. That's absolutely what I look for. Somebody that I feel like I can, you know, take under my wing and build them into something, you know, beyond what they've learned so far in college. And, you know, there's some great professors at University of Arkansas in journalism department. But that's just part of it. It's school, you know, and there's a difference of getting out in the field and actually doing the work also. So it's a good start coming from the U of A, but you also, I would say, need to do internships. You need to do the grunt work. I remember I used to go up to Arkansas Democrat Gazette on a Friday night, you know, am I, 21 years old, 20-something years old, and do the high school football games, collect stats, and, you know, put all that stuff together. You know, those are the kinds of things that you have to do. You have to show people you're willing to work because, again, coming right out, you're not going to make a lot of money. But once you prove yourself valuable, then, yes, you can make a comfortable living at it.
So with hogsports.com, is that something that you just want to build into the best possible business it could be, or do you want to move on to something else? Do you have bigger goals, or do you just want to build Hog Sports up?
No, I'm focused on Arkansas. I'm covering the team and the program that I want to cover, and I always have want to cover. I've had opportunities to do other things on a national level, but this is what I want to do. I love Northwest Arkansas. I love Fayetteville. The money's good. And I'm with a terrific company. And so, you know, these sites are built a little bit differently than like a lot of national, like news sites, like where it's, you know, everything kind of supports the national brand and, you know, like CBS, you know, all the local affiliates kind of, you know, are under, and these sites are kind of built differently where the national brand is built to support the local sites. It's a reverse of it. So, like I said, the money, as long as I'm making money that I feel very comfortable with and enjoy doing the work, enjoy getting up and doing it every day, enjoy living where I live, and my family loves living where we live, I can't imagine myself doing anything else. And also, you know, being my own boss is pretty big because I, you know, I worked all through my childhood and everything, worked for my dad forever. And, it's nice being my own boss. And I've also take that approach with my employees, like with Danny and I, you know, I kind of get out of his way. I know that he's going to do what he's supposed to do. And I don't have to like say, hey, man, what do you got? You know, what are you thinking about this? Or, hey, is this guy's going to commit soon? Are you ready? You know, nobody wants that. Nobody wants a boss that's just like hanging over their shoulder. I know Danny's going to do what he's supposed to do. So I try to give him that freedom that I also enjoy of not having somebody telling me what to do and knowing that I'm going to do my job. I don't know even what the question was initially. I think you asked me if I would ever do anything else, and the answer is no.
All right. Well, we're going to move on and end this up with a rapid-fire round, just a few questions, random questions. Start it off, what's the craziest football game you've ever covered?
There's been some. I mean, the Arkansas-Ole Miss game is up there.
The Henry Heave game?
The Henry Heave game. The let's see. You know, there's so many of them. It's hard. The Auburn game a couple of years ago that went into four overtimes, that was crazy. Some of those McFadden games. The LSU game, triple overtime in Baton Rouge. I mean, I could probably go on and on. Arkansas has been in a lot of them. So as far as basketball, probably that Kentucky game where Qualls had the dunk. Off of Rashad Madden's three-point shot that bounced off. That's probably the craziest basketball game.
All right. If you're driving around Fayetteville and you're looking for a bite to eat, where are you going?
I love Bordino's for a higher-end type of place. We all like that. I love Leverett Lounge also. And Kana Indian Grill is a nice one. I like Kana. I like Indian food. I don't know if a lot of people do, but if you've never tried Kana, it's really good. But I would say those are some of my favorite places. There's other ones, but those kind of stand out right now, I guess, while I'm thinking in my, you know, quarantine time. We also go to La Hacienda a lot for Mexican.
All right. If you, out of any sport, is there a coach where you're just like, man, I don't like that guy? An opposing coach.
An opposing coach, you know, I would almost say that about Bobby Knight, but I've always just been entertained by him because he's such, you know, he's kind of a clown too. I mean, so it's hard. There are things that he does that kind of ruffles my feathers. As far as just not liking a guy. I'm not a big fan of Jim Harbaugh. I think he's just kind of a very strange person. Just a kind of a weird dude. Yeah. So if I was going to pick somebody, I might say him. I might put Urban Meyer in that category, but Harbaugh is just kind of a weirdo.
Urban Meyer is up there for me for sure. Yeah. Your favorite college marching band?
Let's see. We'll go Arkansas. I have to say, though, I was also really impressed with Ohio State's marching band when we went down there. Somebody was telling me, they're like, hey, our marching band's really good. You got to watch it. And I was like, yeah, okay. I mean, I've seen marching bands before, but they were really good. But definitely got to go with the Hogs.
We love to hear it. The best thing on Netflix?
The best thing on Netflix might be Tiger King. Was certainly good. That's been a little bit since that's been out.
You enjoyed that?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was fantastic. I want to get one of the masks, the Tiger King mask, where it's just like his face on the lower half of your face.
That's funny.
Let's see, what else on Netflix have I liked lately? I'll tell you, on Prime, I really like Catastrophe, which we watched recently.
Have you seen Man in the High Castle on Prime?
We've seen some of that. My wife didn't like it as much, but I'll probably pick that back up.
Like that one.
Yeah, we watch a lot of stuff on Netflix. I like a lot of the documentary stuff, a lot of the nature stuff on there too. Like if I'm lying in bed and we can't think of what we want to watch, then we'll watch something like that. I've watched a lot of the, King, Into the Wilderness, a lot of the stuff, you know, surrounding like all the stuff that we've got going on right now with, social injustice and stuff like that. There's been a lot of stuff that's popped up that have caught my eye. When They See Us, I believe, is another good one.
So you can only watch one sport for the rest of your life, and it can't be baseball, football, or basketball. What are you watching?
One sport for the rest of my life, and it can't be those. I mean, golf is a possibility. I like watching the big tournaments. I'm not a big hockey guy. Not a big soccer guy. I would say golf.
Do you have a favorite golfer?
Not really. I mean, I like Tiger like everybody else. Spieth, maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't say I have a favorite. Mickelson. I've always liked Phil Mickelson. I like Phil.
All right. Well, Trey, we really appreciate you coming on with us today. You had so much great insight, and we're very happy that we're able to learn from a guy like you, and we hope to talk to you soon.
Well, I appreciate it. I hope that some young journalism student listen to this and maybe take something away from it. So I appreciate you guys for having me on, and let's do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Another huge thank you to Trey Biddy for joining us on this week's episode of Press Roots. We had a great time talking to him, and we can't wait until next week when we have Andrew Hutchinson from Hogbeat on the show. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter, @PressRootsPod. Send us a tweet or a DM if you have any feedback or suggestions. Once again, thank you for listening to Press Roots, and we will see you next week.